First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. I want to talk to you about incorruptible things. Incorruptible things. Don't you hate to clean out the refrigerator? You know what's wrong with your refrigerator? It's got corruptible things in it. Nothing in this old world lasts forever. Especially if it's made of flesh or if it's a living thing. Incorruptible things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 18, 19, and 23. Verse 18, he said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation," you remember I told you this morning, that means your lifestyle, "from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," that means you inherited the way you live, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now go on down in verse 23, he talks about us as children of God. He says, "being born again, not of corruptible seed," that's of your father's seed, "but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now he said, you weren't born again by that corruptible seed which you inherited from your fathers, but you were born again by the seed of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And that seed went in, and the Holy Spirit germinated that thing, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it's still growing. So he said, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. I want to talk to you about incorruptible things. Brother Rudy, pray for us, if you will. We live in a world that's full of corruption, rotten things. A lot of people tonight are out of church. You know, honestly, some are traveling, I heard. Some are not feeling well. Some are up at the camp. But there's a lot of folks that don't go to church because they don't know, but they're chasing corruptible things. They're chasing things that won't last. That'll fade away. That'll rot. He even went so far as say silver and gold. Silver and gold. And those are the most, two of the most precious things on planet Earth. And yet they're corruptible, see. And so, to make sure I knew what I was talking about, Brother Billy, I got the old dictionary out. You ought to get you a good dictionary, Bible dictionary. And I looked up that word corruptible. Here's what it means. And you already know, but I want to reinforce what you know, okay? The first two words you would think of would be spoiled or rotten. Spoiled or rotten. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Well, most people have air conditioning in their cars now. Sometimes I'll roll down the windows just for the good old days. They don't even make cars that's nice to ride with the windows down anymore because of the way they make them, the wind will beat you to death. So you have to, they're aerodynamic for those windows to stay up. Most people have air conditioning. But I forgot exactly how corruptible this world was until day before yesterday. I decided, of course I run my air conditioning at the same time. But I rolled down the windows and I come up this little country road and I come to a stop sign and I lost my breath. Somebody had hit a dog and left it there. And it had corrupted. And it had corrupted so bad, I inhaled him. You ever done that? You get that old oily, nasty taste. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden it's there and you go, and it smells so bad you can taste it. Are y'all still with me? Yes, stunt worse than that. But you really did taste it, because that's in that corruption's in the air and is floating around, and that's exactly what this is talking about. But it's speaking spiritually and morally. So I looked it up in the Bible dictionary. Morally debased. Morally evil. Morally depraved. Contains alterations or errors. That's spiritual corruption. Now, he said we were not redeemed by corruptible things, but we were redeemed by something that's incorruptible, the Word of God, and it lives and abides forever. It'll never rot. It'll never be in error. It'll never be debased. It'll never be altered. It'll never be depraved. It'll never be rotten, and it'll never be spoiled. It's always as sweet as the first time you drank the living water. It will always be just as good when you go back to it as it was the first time. Once you're born again and you read the white Bible is now sweet and it's fresh. And as you read it, you're refreshed. And it doesn't matter how backslid you get. You can stay away from the Word of God and go back to it 20 years later. And you start reading it and it's still refreshing and life-giving, just like it was the day you walked away from it. It is not corruptible. Now, incorruptible means it cannot be debased. It's physically impossible to be debased if it's incorruptible. It is impossible for it to be evil. It is impossible for it to be depraved. It contains no errors or alterations. That's what incorruptible means. Now, corruptible is just the opposite. You say, well, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, there's some things in the Bible that it talks about being incorruptible. So I looked up a few of them. Romans chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, after a long list of God explaining moral corruption of homosexuality. But read it. Romans chapter 1. After the majority of that text is devoted to explaining and condemning being morally corrupted by homosexuality, then he comes out and he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, look what he says. He says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, what he's saying is this, God cannot be corrupted. And after these people get so low and so depraved and so corrupted within themselves, they can't live with the thought of an uncorrupted God. So therefore, they have to create another God that's already corrupted before they ever even create it. They make him out of wood or stone or metal or something else. And they make him look like a man who is corrupted. Or the creation of God, birds and beasts, those things are already corrupted. They have the death penalty on them, just like we have on us, because they live in a sinful world. So you can't have another God that's uncorrupted, because if you make another God, then it's already corrupted. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So instead of following our incorruptible or uncorruptible God, they want to make another one. And you can't. Because anything that man makes is going to corrupt. It's going to rust. It's going to rot. It's going to decay. And it's going to fall away. You don't believe it. Anybody over 30 years old, go back to where you grew up. It's gone. Either trees have grown up through that field, and the house is rotten and falling in, or the place you used to work is decayed and gone. If you want a perfect example of it, go to where he came from. Over half of that city, I've seen videos of it, man, people ride around, just take videos of the neighborhoods just corrupted, falling apart, falling in. The factories are falling in. The rust has decayed. The steel in the buildings are literally just caved in. It looks like a war zone. Because anything that man creates, if it is unattended and not kept on being refurbished, it will corrupt and decay and debase and fall in. My wife has a saying at my house. We don't own our house. Oh, don't get me wrong, we paid for it. It's paid for with the bank. But we don't own our house. Every year the federal government sends us a bill. You don't pay that bill, you'll see who owns your house. Yeah, we'll never own our house. Federal government won't let us do it. You can't pay off your taxes. But she also says another thing. She says, we're not the owners here, we're the maintenance people. That's what she said. She said, we're not the owners here. We're the maintenance people. There's something to fix every day. There's something breaks every day. Things are falling apart. Shingles are coming off. Wood rots. Things fall apart because my house is corruptible. And anything you build on planet Earth will corrupt and it will decay and debase and finally fall apart. Amen? But not God. God's made out of something. I don't know what He's made out of. Only God knows what He's made out of. But what He is made out of is uncorruptible. Rust can't touch Him. Old age can't touch Him. Sickness can't touch Him. Rheumatoid arthritis can't touch Him. Forgetfulness, strokes, whatever's bothering you, that can't touch God. God's uncorruptible. Amen. And hey, I thank God He's like that. I'm glad I'm not worshiping some stinking statue. Most of you are from Rock Hill, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've always thought of Dave Lyon Boulevard. They called it the entrance to the city. And they sent those stinking masons out there. A cult. That's a cult. And they hired some weirdo woman. And she designed some weirdo women statues. And now one of them holding up the sun, one's holding up the stars, one's holding up the universe. Really, they're holding up our pocketbook. Amen? And boy, they gloried in those things. When they first put them up there, they just gloried in those. And it's nothing but false gods, the god of commerce or whatever you want to call it. And by the way, I don't know why they called that the gateway to the city. The only thing over there was 2-3 mills over there, and they all shut down now. But you go by there now, and all that glory on them half-naked statues, women statues, is green. They've turned green. You know why? They're corruptible. Amen? I wouldn't want a God that would turn green in 10 years. Amen? I wouldn't want a God that couldn't take care of Himself. But God is incorruptible. Now, not only physically, He's incorruptible morally. He said, I'm same today, yesterday, and I change not. He said, I'm same forever. Now, God has never sinned. God's never even thought about sinning. God's never even been tempted to sin. God cannot sin. God is made in such a way that He cannot sin. He cannot. It's physically impossible for God to sin, so therefore, He cannot be corrupted morally. He'll never commit adultery. He'll never commit fornication. He'll never commit homosexuality. He'll never steal. He'll never lie. He'll never do those things that corruptible human beings do because He's so far above that. And He's thrice holy. The Bible says He's holy, holy, holy. And they sing that all the time. Holy, holy, holy. That's what's going on in heaven. And if you think your little rock boy band's going up there, they're not going to be there. They don't sing that junk up there. They're singing holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Amen. And He cannot be corrupted. Thank God. Hallelujah. I can fall, He can't. That's good God. I wouldn't want a God that was like me. Would you? And so Joseph Smith couldn't take that, so he comes along and creates him some corruptible gods. He says there's one in every universe. There's little Jesuses everywhere out there, and they got their own little worlds, and they created them, and they take care of them. And the only reason they said, and by the way, the man that said that before it was over had 13 wives. I think one of them was 12 or 13 years old. I get a letter once a month from that Jeffries guy that they locked up out there in Arizona, the head of the Fundamental Mormon Church. Y'all remember that? Latter-day Saint, the one they locked up for having sexual relations with like a 13-year-old girl. He married her. Y'all remember that? It's a big deal on news and everything. And they put him in the penitentiary for doing that. And he's still got thousands of followers out there that still follow him. He preaches from the jail. He adds to the Bible once a month. He sends me a new scripture that he sat down and wrote. It's usually about two or three pages. And it sounds just like the King James Bible. And last month, he said Russia and America was going to be destroyed this week. He missed. But he's right. He's still writing what he thinks is scripture. And because he's so morally corrupt in his mind, he doesn't realize that the God he's promoting is not even the right God. So if there is somebody talking to him, that God is morally corrupt and telling him lies. I'd say it was the devil, wouldn't you? I wouldn't have a God that could lie. I'm glad my God can't lie. Amen. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he said, look at it again. He said, and change the glory of God incorruptible to an image made like corruptible man to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. But look, I've got news for you, and that's my wrong verse, ain't it? I was reading Romans again. Y'all get me so excited. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. There you go. Now, he said in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? By baptism? By what? Amen. By turning over a new leaf. You know what you get when you turn over a new leaf, Billy? Worms. That's where they live, under them old leaves. Amen. Well, by quitting the... No. You got born again by the incorruptible Word of God. That's the only thing on planet Earth that is not rotten right there. Amen. The only thing. It's pure. The Bible says God's words are pure words. Tried in the fire 7 times. More pure than the purest silver you'll ever find or the purest gold you'll ever find. This book right here. Why you want to mess with it? Why you want to change it? Why do you want to edit it? Why do you want to revise it? Brother Billy, it's awful funny that Christians were thought to be intelligent people that believed in the inerrant Word of God that never changes and believes in the incorruptible Word of God. But now in the 21st century, when everybody's so educated, they think we're stupid because we don't believe that the Word of God needs to be changed. It was all right for 400 years. It worked for 400 years, and all of a sudden, corruptible man with corruptible minds and corruptible morals wants to change the Word of God and make it corruptible like they are, see? Yeah. Billy Sunday said, the problem's not with the Bible, the problem's with your life. You don't need to change the Bible, you need to change your life. And I'm glad, look, I'm glad as a young Christian, when I first got saved, old Wayne Henson gave me a bunch of books on the King James Bible and the preserved Word of God in the English language being the King James Bible. Now, if God's incorruptible, He changes not, and there was one Bible that was made right, why would you want to change it ever again? Amen. And boy, he gave me that thing, and I got to digging in it, I'll never forget. People laughed at me at the church I got saved in. People laughed at me because I believe God wrote a book and He never changes and the book never changes. And they made fun of me and laughed at me because I said that. Called me ignorant and unlearned. And now I know more about it than they ever dreamed of knowing. They didn't, hey, not bragging on me, but the newspaper didn't go to their house and ask them about the Bible. When the King James Bible 400th anniversary come around, they asked around town. Everybody said, you need to go talk to Ron Roddy. He knows a little bit about that. And they talked to me and they quoted me. They didn't quote Mr. Smith at Eastside Baptist Church. That's not me. I'm just telling you. I thank God that he led me at an early time in my Christian life to believe that the Word of God's incorruptible, and it doesn't matter who's got a title or position or degree. If they disagree with that, they've disagreed with God, Brother Billy. Amen. Incorruptible Word of God. I can take that book right there and I can sit down and read it. And I can read the same thing that every saint ever read. And by the way, people say, well, it's just all how you interpret it. No, it's of no private interpretation. It says what it says, and it means what it says. You don't have to interpret it. The Holy Spirit did that when he wrote it. It's already been interpreted. What you have to do is read it. And then, once you read it, you can be born again by that incorruptible seed. Not only are you born again by it, but you grow thereby. And you preserve by it. And you encourage by it. And you're blessed by it. Because it's pure Word of God. Now there's something else. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 24. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 24. I'm out of time. If Rick hadn't preached so long, I could keep on going. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 24. Look at it with me. Grace be with all men that what? Love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Now, that word sincerity, that means real. It means true. Amen? So, there is an incorruptible love. The love of God, which passes all understanding, is an incorruptible love. You cannot corrupt the love of God. Now, a few years back, they made a movie about Jesus being a homosexual. That was corrupting the love of God. Yes. Trying to. But nobody watched that movie. They probably didn't make their money back off of it they put in it. And then there was another one where Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene. Yeah, a movie. Hey, trying to pervert the love of Christ. Making fun of it. Corrupting it, making it into an ugly thing, and degrade it, and debase it, and twist it. There was a successful play on Broadway for over a year about Jesus and the 12 apostles being homosexual men. There was. Got all kind of applause. And the world loved it. But I'll tell you one that didn't love it. The one that has the true love of God in him, and that's me and you. We don't like that stuff. That's a pure love. You don't mess with that. You know, it's a precious thing, a love of a mother and a child. That's a precious thing. That's a innocence and a pure thing. You ought not mess with that. There's something about the love of a man with his son. A man with his son. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Now they want to make it nasty. But there ain't nothing wrong with that. Hey, a father ought to love his son. He ought to tell him. He ought to show him. He ought to explain to him what love is. A husband and a wife. A wife and hey, listen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of love it is. This world will try to twist it and debase it and defile it, because they've never experienced the love of God. See, once you experience the love of God, that's a pure love. That's a incorruptible love. And guess what will happen? Once you get that, then all those other loves will fall right in place. See? Somebody asked my wife one... somebody asked me one time, said, when we were younger, you have a homely fella, said, aren't you afraid your wife might leave you for a better-looking man? I said, she did a long time ago. His name's Jesus. And I said, long as she loves him, I ain't got to worry about it. Amen? I don't have to worry about it. But see, they want to twist that stuff. Now, the love of God's incorruptible. And there's something else about that. I can't add to it.
and I can't take away from it. No matter what I do, He's going to love me the same. Whether I do good or bad, He's going to love me the same. Because God is love. Now, my love for you can be corrupted. I can change it, you can change it. Your love for your wife or your husband can be corrupted. You can mess that up. Even with your own children, you can mess that up. Your grandchildren, you mess that up. But you can't mess up the love of God. He loves you. There ain't no ifs about it. He loves you. Not if you do something. He just loves you. Amen? Now, that's incorruptible love. And I thought about this too. I have 1 Corinthians chapter 9, real quick. There's so many more I could talk about. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That means you don't overdo stuff. You're not a extreme. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Did you know there's an incorruptible crown that you can get in heaven? What'd he say? One of these days he's going to look at some people and he's going to say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thy what? Good and faithful servant. Now you're not good and faithful to be saved. You're good and faithful because you are saved and you want to please your Father. And one day you're going to get an incorruptible crown that fadeth not away. And God's going to put that crown on you. And I think you're going to take it off and give it to the Lord. I think we're all going to throw it at His feet. Amen? Because we don't deserve it. But I don't care. The lowest Christian that you can imagine, one day, by the promise of God, is going to get an incorruptible crown, the crown of life. But then there's others who are going to get crowns for being faithful. Don't criticize people when they're trying to serve the Lord. Don't do it. Don't make fun of them. Don't mock them. Don't belittle them. Now, some of y'all think it's not a big deal to come in here and clean the floors in the bathroom. Some of you think that. Most people who go to church here think that. But I've got news for you. If you'll do that as unto the Lord, He'll reward you for that. Now you guys think you go down to the nursing home because won't nobody else do it. Well, I don't know why you do it, but I'm going to tell you this. You do it as unto the Lord because you love people, and God will give you an incorruptible reward for that. Now, I've had, and some of you have, probably all of you, we've had recognition here on planet Earth. We've had our crowns. I mean, we've got little pieces of paper hanging on the wall saying that somebody recognized us for this, or an education or a degree or something. You know, all of us has got something. Maybe it's employee of the month, and they let you park in that favorite parking spot, and they gave you a little. We all get recognition down here. That's your crown. Okay. Now the person that's going to get the best crown in heaven is the one that served Jesus Christ with all their heart, and they didn't do it to get recognition. But when they get to heaven, God's going to give them a crown that's incorruptible because they did it as unto the Lord. And it might not look like much to you, but it looked real good to Him. Amen. Oh, y'all think the preacher's going to be at the front of the line. I think most of us pastors will be at the back of that line. Maybe not even be in that line, some. So in heaven, there's an incorruptible crown. In heaven, 1 Peter again, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved for in heaven for you. Now, we've got an incorruptible inheritance. I don't know if I told y'all this or not, but I got a telephone call a couple months ago, and it's from Hazel Cawthon, runs the Cawthon Funeral Home in Lancaster. You know he's kin to me, don't you? I didn't either until he called me. But he said, Ron, I need to talk to you. He said, you remember, and I'm not going to call out names because this is on the internet, but I had a first cousin lived up the street from me growing up. He was older than me, probably 20-something years older than me. Always single, never married, died strangely. I don't even know why, or something happened, you know. He owned a little bit of property, a few things, and it kind of fell in disarray. I don't know if anybody ever inherited it. But he had a brother that went to school here, and he got a degree at USC, and then he moved to Berkeley, California. And he got... he went to the University of California in Berkeley, and he's got 3 or 4 degrees, never got married, never had any children, and they said he died. And he had some substance about him. He had some substance. And they don't know who to give it to. He had no children. He had no living relatives at all. Mama's gone, daddy's gone, his one brother's gone, never had any sisters. So they're looking at first cousins. Now, you know, all my life, I kept saying I didn't have a rich uncle, but maybe I did have a rich cousin. I don't think anything ever come out of it, but my name's on the list, brother. Amen. Amen. I don't even know what he's got. I've just been told. But the point being, did you know that don't excite me as much as my inheritance in heaven? And the older you get, the more you feel that way. The things on this earth grow strangely dim. They're decaying. They're degrading. Sometimes they're deceiving. We don't. As you get older, silver and gold don't look so pretty as it used to. Amen? Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. It's the truth. You know, when you're young, you just think about money, 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 money. Boy, if I had money. Boy, if I had money. My nephew, Jerry, I'll always say, Jerry, you need anything? He said, I need $1 million. You got it? I said, I done spent your million. I probably have. He said, well, if you ever get $1 million, let me know. I said, why? He said, that'll fix all my problems. I said, that would be the beginning of your problem. Because he don't know how to spend it, and he don't know how to save it, and he'd be in a mess, and he wouldn't have them. I guarantee you that most people, if you gave him $1 million within 1 year, they wouldn't have it. Some of y'all know. I mean, that time you'd won the lottery, and it's gone. I can see guilt all over their faces when I said that. Scratch and sniff. Oh, that ain't a winner. Let me tell you something. There's an inheritance that God's going to... He's going to make us kings and princes, and we're going to rule and reign with Him forever and ever. Now, I don't know what's going to happen really past the new earth and the new heaven. I don't know, Brother Rick. God might walk up to you and say, Rick, I'm just going to give you the state of Ohio. Because you've been so good. That's your inheritance. I'm going to give you the state of Ohio. Go over and fix that mess. You know, Democrats run that thing. You need to fix that. But we have an inheritance that's uncorruptible. Now, let's say my cousin does leave me something. Maybe he's got money, bank, stocks. Maybe he's got some property. I'm not real old. Don't jump. I'm 63, okay? And I don't think I'll live long as Mama, 98. Who knows? I might. But I'm going to tell you this. As you get farther on this side of youth and closer to heaven, that kind of stuff just don't make a big deal to you anymore. You know, I got a nice house. I ain't rich. It looks like you see it. It looks kind of like a log cabin sitting over there, you know, and something I never even dreamed of having. I got a car that I don't have to push to start no more. And I ain't pushed it up to the gas pump ever. My children are all college graduates, and they've moved, and they're doing pretty good. My wife's doing real good. I'm doing real good health-wise. A man came to her uncle one time when they were building the Academy Sports. Y'all know where the Academy Sports store is? She had an uncle lived at, no, her grandpa's brother, so that would make it her great-brother, uncle or whatever. But they came to him one time when they were first building that. They was trying to buy up all that property out there. And he had a nice little three-bedroom brick house and an acre of land. They said, we won't give you $1 million for that. Now, this has been way back when they were planning all that stuff. They said, we won't give you $1 million for that. You know what he did? He said, I looked at him, he said, I'm an old man. What would I do with $1 million? You say, he's crazy. Well, see, things in this world don't look so bright after you get older. Here's what he said. I'd have to move. I got to move my furniture. I got to buy me another house. I like where I live. I'm used to it. And you know what? When we compare what this world has to what we have on the other side, we say, why would I want to change that? Why would I want to give that up? I've got an inheritance. It's incorruptible. Whatever you give me on planet Earth is going to decay. It's going to degrade. It's going to rot. It's going to stink. And up there in heaven, I've got an inheritance that'll never pass away. And it's forever settled in heaven. I'm not trading it. You know what? Every one of these things are pure and holy and perfect and eternal. And the devil wants to swap them with you for death, hell, and the grave. Why would you want to do that? You ever talk to somebody, they say, well, I used to go to church, or I used to be a Christian, but... And I said, well, what did you trade it for? What did you find better than the peace of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the promises of God, the Word of God, eternal life? What did you find better?
Come on now.
Because all those things you trade that for are corruptible. And they'll be disappointing one day. You'll sit back and look at it and you'll say, look what I traded for a crown.
Amen.
Look what I traded for a crown. I could have had a crown. And I gave it up for that. I'm going to stick with incorruptible. You do whatever you want to. But I'm going to stick with incorruptible. And I'm going to point my children to the incorruptible. And I'm going to point my grandchildren to the incorruptible. And I'm going to point everybody I love to the incorruptible things. And I hope to get their eyes off of these old temporary things on planet Earth and get their eyes on things in heaven that will never corrupt. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. That never changes, cannot be corrupted. They try, but Lord, those of us who know you or your word,